Let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's look in the book of 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John for the first time in a pretty good while. Been a little bit since we've been here, but I'm going to continue our study through 1 John tonight. And pray the Lord will help us. I've enjoyed going through 1 John. And I got too much longer before we'll be finished with this book. And I do hope and pray it's been a blessing, been a help to you. A lot of very important doctrines and topics covered here. And we're going to look at one of the most important ones tonight. And so I want to look in 1 John chapter 4 and look with me in verse number 7. Now, we're not going to read all these verses, but from 7 till about the end of the chapter, I was dealing with mostly the same topic. And so we're going to read the rest of this chapter and then put in about verse number 7 and just kind of see how far we get tonight. So 1 John 4, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love also, love his brother also." That's about the, I don't know how many verses that is, about 14 verses, something like that. But I read the whole rest of this chapter. That whole last section is dealing with a topic that has actually already been dealt with a few times in this little book, the book of John, dealing with the topic of love. And more specifically, brotherly love and the love of God. And so the main portion, I guess if I was to title this section, I would title it just the way John titled it in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another." And so I'm preaching on that tonight. I want to give you a few thoughts right out of this text here where God is speaking through John on that thought of let us love one another. Love is one of the central topics in 1 John. This is just a little short book, 5 chapters, but with all the topics that are covered, love is one of the central topics. It's dealt with multiple times. Matter of fact, we've already dealt with it a few times in John already. And he keeps coming back. I think I've said it before, but 1 John's been kind of described as like a spiral staircase where he keeps coming back around to the same topics and not dealing with them the same way, but looking at all of them from different perspectives and looking at very important doctrines and very important truths from different angles and different perspectives and kind of going deeper and deeper and deeper into them. And so love here has been introduced already in chapter 2, verse 7 through 11 as a sign of walking in the light. It's also been dealt with in chapter 3, verse 10 through 18 as a sign of the presence of righteousness in someone's life. And now, here in chapter 4, it's being dealt with as a blessing of the Spirit. One of the blessings of the Spirit of God in our life is that of love. Loving one another. So in this section here, that word love, loveth, loved, or beloved, it appears 29 times. Just in this one section right here. 29 times some word attached to love appears here. And one of these love words appears nearly 50 times in this little book of John. So it would appear that he's dealing a lot with love and the love of God. And you know, the topic of love is such a big topic. It's such a broad topic, but it's a very important topic, especially in these last days. Because there's so much confusion, so much misunderstanding regarding really what love even is. And so it's a very, very important topic for us. And really every time he deals with love in this book, every time we've looked at it, it's all teaching us the difference in self-centered, worldly love and Hollywood's idea of love and this touchy-feely love that's, you know, prevalent today. And I mean, if you just look out, you ain't got to look far. I mean, the word love is tossed around a lot. But it's connected to a lot of wicked stuff. LGBTQ movement and all this stuff. And so they throw the word love around a lot. But what John really is helping us with is to see the difference in self-centered worldly love and God's love. What true love really is. You know, nobody really can understand even what true love really is without knowing God. You cannot know love without knowing God. And we'll deal with some of that here in just a little bit. But John Butler said this. He said, "You can junk all you have heard from the world about love in favor of what the Apostle John says about love." And that's right, isn't it? God, and especially Jesus Christ, gives us a very good example, gives us very good illustrations of what we can look at to find love. And so let's look at this topic here. Look at this section here. We're not going to get through all of it, obviously, but we're looking at let us love one another. Now, in this, I want to say, first of all, we have a responsibility in this. We have a responsibility. The very first phrase in verse 7 is beloved. Let us love one another. So he's talking to God's people because he's talking to the beloved. So he's talking to God's people. He's talking to you and me. And he includes himself in the next statement. He says, let us love one another. That is all of us. Every one of us. Let us love one another. And so we find that we have a responsibility. You and I, all of us, have a responsibility in this thing to love one another. Now, these people he's writing to, who John is writing to here, it's not that they don't already know. It's not that they don't already know that they're supposed to love one another. As a matter of fact, if you look back in chapter 2, verse number 7, he's dealing with a different topic here, but it could be applied to both of them. He says in verse 7 of chapter 2, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. In other words, he's not writing anything new to these folks. He's rehashing, reiterating that which they already know. As a matter of fact, this whole deal of loving one another and loving the brethren is taught by God to us anyways. Even if we didn't have a Bible, the Holy Spirit of God would still be teaching us in our heart to love one another. Matter of fact, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hold your finger in 1 John. Look back in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. And look at what Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Nobody's there yet. One or two, three. Miss Ann's there. It's page 1677 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. Where's Kelby at? You there, Kelby? Say amen, Kelby. It's in the T's, that's right. It's alphabetical order. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Everybody there? All right, he says, "But as touching brotherly love," that's what we're talking about, ain't it? So as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. He said, you don't even need this. He said, you don't even need that I write unto you. He said, for ye yourselves are taught of who? Taught of God to love one another. In other words, whenever somebody gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes on the inside of them and indwells them and puts a particular love for the people of God within their heart. I mean, it's a natural thing, because it's more of a spiritual thing than it is a natural thing, isn't that right? It's a natural thing for someone filled with the Spirit of God, but that's what God does. The Holy Ghost puts a love, a particular love in your heart for the people of God. And so that is already there. And the people he's writing to in 1 John already have that. They already know that. He's not giving them something new. However, there still is a responsibility in this thing. Beloved, let us love one another. In other words, it's simply a reminder of the responsibility that we have to keep our heart, that is our love, right with God and right with one another. It's kind of like a coach, you know, talking to a team. You know, you get some defensive coach with a football team and he's getting everybody fired up and he's talking about, let's go out there and smash somebody. You know, because that's what you do when you're on defense and you're playing football, right? You're trying to smash somebody. Well, no football player in that huddle there is scratching his head, looking at one another and saying, oh, I didn't know we were supposed to go out and smash somebody. That's news to me. You know, some coach goes in with his team, he's firing his team, like, let's go out and win this thing. Nobody's like scratching their head like, oh, we're here to win? I didn't know. Well, everybody already knows. And so it's an exhortation. It is an encouragement and a reminder that this is what we are to be doing. You remember Matthew chapter 22? Turn over there really quick. Matthew chapter 22. Because Jesus made a similar command or talked about a similar command in Matthew 22. The Gospel of Matthew 22, verse 35, we just dealt with this not long ago, says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that's the two most important commandments in the Bible. The two commandments that every other commandment hangs on is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That speaks of responsibility. It's a command. It's a command that you and I love the Lord, and once we're saved, that we love one another the way we're supposed to. Listen, he dealt with this all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to flip over there. He commanded this to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. In other words, God is telling Israel that if you want to live in the land of blessing, If you want to prolong your days and be greatly blessed, this is what you do. And you have the responsibility to do it. But if you'll do it, you'll live a life of blessing. Now, we know that the Lord was talking to a physical, national people in that verse. Isn't that right? And He was talking to them about a literal, physical land of blessing. The land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it was an actual land He was talking about. Did you move that over into our economy? And it's still true. Listen, if you and I will keep the command of God in loving the way we should love, we will live in the land of blessing. We will live a life of blessing. You know, God's not looking to spoil anybody's fun. And all the thou shalt nots are not to ruin anybody's fun or anybody's life or anybody's party. It's that we might live in the land of blessing. We might live the blessed life, the best life we could live. And it all hinges on loving the Lord thy God and loving thy neighbor as thyself. Loving one another. Matter of fact, He said there to Israel, He said, you're going to teach your children this. Amen. Listen, us parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children. We have the responsibility as a church to teach the next generation to love the Lord as they should, to love one another as they should. Amen. Because listen, the world is sure out there and the devil is sure out there looking to capture their heart and to warp their idea of love and to capture their affection. And they're out there looking to do that. So we're going to teach them to love God. That's what He said. And so this is nothing new, but it shows the responsibility in it all. Now, if you remember, we did that whole series on victory. Remember that? And we actually looked at 1 John chapter 2 in that series. 1 John 2 verse 15, He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, from that verse right there, we can deduce one thing. And that is the world is seeking to gain something from you and from me. See, he's talking to saved people in those verses, just like He is in these verses we're looking at tonight. And so the world is seeking to gain something from you if you're saved. You know what the world's seeking to gain? Your love. Your affection. Amen? Listen, that's why some of them people departed from Paul on them journeys, departed from the ministry, having loved this present world, he said. And so the world is seeking to gain your love, to possess your love. And through the power of the Spirit, we do have control over what we love. Listen, don't ever forget that. Now, lost people who are dead in trespasses and sins, they don't. But you and I, through the Spirit of God, we do, in fact, in spite of what the world says, in spite of what movies say and Disney says and Hollywood says, you do, in fact, have power and control over who and what you love. Over who and what holds your affections and your zeal and your, you know, all those things. You do have power over that. And what we must do, according to these verses, let us love one another. We must evaluate by the Spirit and by the Word of God the things and the people that are gaining our love and make sure they're the right things and the right people. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but if you remember Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, but the sad thing is he didn't take his own advice. He had a lot to say about strange women in the book of Proverbs, had a lot to say about things like that, and yet the Bible says about him in 1 Kings 11 verse 4, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." In other words, Solomon didn't take his own advice, didn't take a lot of his own wisdom, even though he was full of it. And because of the people he gave his heart to, they turned his heart from the Lord. And the same thing will happen to you, and the same thing will happen to me if we're not careful. The people and the things that we give our love and our affection to will turn our heart. That's why he says, beloved, let us love one another. Because God's people are supposed to be our people. Amen. That doesn't mean we don't have, you know, people that we, you know, we have affections for, people we love, people we want to reach, people we want to see. That doesn't mean that at all. But simply stated, listen, this is our people. God's people are our people. You have to be careful who you allow to love. What about Lot down in Sodom? Remember that? Over in Genesis 19, verse 7. Remember whenever those angels came in to see Lot? I mean, these are angelic beings. They come into the city, and the men, the Bible says, young and old, the men of the city, young and old, are pressing against the door to get at those men. They're wanting to drag, and they tell Lot, bring them out to us that we may know them. That's knowing them in a vulgar, immoral way. They're wanting to drag them out in the street and rape them. That's what they're wanting to do. You know what what Lot says to them? In chapter 19, verse 7 of Genesis, Lot says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He called them brethren. Because he was down in Sodom, and he had been there so long and vexed his soul so long, and he had gotten close to those people. He had opened his heart to those people. He had began to love those people. They had become his brethren. They'd become his people. And I'll say, as the Lord said, these things ought not so to be. Amen. That's not the way it's supposed to be. See, he should have had himself and his family with his people instead of Sodom's people. It affects us. Who we love and what we love, it affects us. As a matter of fact, those wicked people became his wife's people too. And they became his daughter's people too. Amen? Again, that's why we as parents, we have the responsibility of teaching our children and protecting our children. Because listen, those people in Sodom, all his daughter's friends, they were down in Sodom. All their influences, they were from Sodom. Oh no, they weren't from Uncle Abraham and his people. The right people, oh no, their friends and their influences, the closest people in their life, they were from all down in Sodom. And all that stuff got in their heart, and when they got out of Sodom, Sodom was still in them. Amen. That's why you got to be careful. See, God's people are to be our people. We're among the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're to love one another. Amen. That's one reason the assembly is so important. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Let's look at those verses. We know them and can quote at least the one by heart, but I want to look at all the verses surrounding it a little bit. Look, come look at this with me. Hebrews chapter 10. And look in verse number 23. Hebrews 10, verse number 23. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So before he even gets to talking about the assembly, he talks about considering one another. That is the brethren, each other, those that are of like faith, those that are going to say, let's consider one another and provoke each other unto love and to good works. Amen. Listen, your main goal, one of your main goals as a Christian, as a saved person, and as a member of this church ought to be to consider the other members of this church, the other people in this church, and one of your main goals ought to be to provoke them unto love and unto good works. That'll be one of your main goals, that you live to please Jesus and you live to provoke your brother, your sister, that one across out. You provoke them to be more like Him. You provoke them to do better. You encourage them to do, and you live your life that everyone would look at you and it would make them want to be more like Jesus. It'd make them want to be a better Christian. It wouldn't discourage somebody. It wouldn't, you know, make people scratch their head and cause confusion. Like, you know, I mean, why are some people going this way and some people are going another way, and why are they living life? No, you want to live in such a way that you would provoke unto love and good works. It make other people love God and each other more, and make other people want to live closer to Him, have good works in their life. That's what he says. But then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, by the way, there's no period between those verses. You notice that. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Those two verses go together. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is connected to provoking one another unto good works, love and good works. But then he says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, that's why, again, this is why the assembly is so important, because we exhort one another in the assembly. We provoke one another in the assembly. We get with people who are like us. We get with people who are going the same direction as us. Listen, if the only reason you come to church because you know you're supposed to, you're missing it. You're missing it. We come to get help from one another. We get exhortation for one another. Whenever we're slipping, we get around other people that are going the same way as us, and it puts iron in our blood and makes us realize, I can live for Jesus. I can do right. I can stand for God. I can keep it because they're doing it. I can do it. And so it's that exhortation. That's why the assembly is so important. It's, brethren, let us love one another. Amen? In Mark chapter 2, look what Jesus said about the Lord's Day. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 24, Mark chapter 2, verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was a hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, there's a lot of doctrine, a lot to be unpacked there, but the point I'm making with that is this. He's talking about the Sabbath. We know we meet on the first day of the week now, but we're talking about the Lord's Day. And what he said is that the whole meaning behind that, the whole point of that, was not that you were made for the Sabbath, it's that the Sabbath was made for you. The Lord, listen, we're not made for the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is for us. It's to help us. It's to get love from the brethren, and exhortation from the brethren, and help from the Word of God, and help from God. It is for us that we could worship God, and that we can be blessed. It's a day of service and a day of worship, and all of that is for us. Amen? And loving the brethren is all part of that. It helps us. See, one thing we need in our lives as God people is we need unity and community. Amen? And if people aren't right with God, you'll always find this. They'll always distance themselves from God's people. Almost always. Either that or vice versa. Either they're not right with God, therefore they distance themselves from God's people, or they distance themselves from God's people and they wind up not right with God. One or the other is always true. I'm simply saying we have a responsibility in this thing. Beloved, let us love one another. But not only do we have a responsibility, but we have a reason here. He said in verse 7, back in our chapter, in our verse, 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, love is part of the nature of God. And if we're His, then we should love one another, because that's what He does. Down in verse number 11, He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, that's what Ephesians 5 is all about. Ephesians 5 is the chapter we all go through when we're teaching on the home. Husbands love their wives and all those things. We're not going to go read it for sake of time. But Paul, right in there, he said, you know, I speak unto you a great mystery, but I speak unto you concerning Christ and the church. All that teaching there has to do more with Christ and the church than it does the home. It applies to both, and he's teaching both. Both of them are right, but the mystery there is that it's about Christ and the church, showing His love for us, therefore the way we ought to love Him. Amen? And the way we ought to love one another. Loving one another reflects His love for His bride. He loves lost sinners, but He loves His bride with a particular love. Amen? Therefore, we ought to love sinners, but we ought to love one another with a particular love. And then last of all, let me give you this. We have a resource. Not only do we have a responsibility, we have a reason, but we have a resource here. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." You know, to love others and to love one another, especially love God's people, really is not in us. I know we have a responsibility in it because He commands us to do it. But it's still a fact that it's really not in us, therefore it must come from somewhere. It has to come from the Lord. We're commanded to love one another. That's actively and intentionally, but there's no way to do it without Him. In fact, love is the very first fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on. But the very first one is love. And that's the capital S, Spirit. The very first fruit. And so if we're loved by Him, we should be loving one another. There's no way to repay God for His love to us. There's no way we could ever do that. But if there was, it would be loving others and loving one another. If there was ever anything that was close to it, that would be the one closest to it. Would be loving one another. See, this is a continuous, habitual love that God commands us to do for each other, with each other, because it's the nature of God. And that nature is in us when we get saved. Beloved, let us love one another. If there's any crowd that's your crowd, it ought to be this crowd. And what the devil is constantly trying to do, what this world is constantly trying to do, is pull your heart, pull your affections away to that crowd out there. That's why that whole deal with friends is so important. We dealt with that a lot lately. And marrying right, all those things. Because I'm telling you, the devil is constantly trying to make his crowd your crowd. And that crowd will appeal to your flesh. And he'll get a hold of your heart. And he'll make that crowd your crowd. But the command is, beloved, let us love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it in our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to love each other as you would have us to, or to be what you want us to be. Lord, I thank you for helping us tonight. Pray that you'd help us to apply this to our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.